Greetings. This is Richard Solon.
And I'm Kendall Solon.
And this is Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. This is Richard Solon. The sermon I want to share today is entitled, To See Things Differently. It was delivered on what was then called Boy Scout Sunday, but across the United States, scout troops are more and more open to the participation of girls, so it should be called Scout Sunday.
Well, let me repeat, it is good to see you on this wintry day and to see so many visitors here with us. I know we would be greatly diminished if we didn't have our friends from the Scout Troop 700, which our church sponsors, and others who are concerned about their welfare. You know, in the secular calendar, today is February the 13th. It is a day like any other day. It's not special. I guess it's there to serve as a rest period between my wife's birthday, which was yesterday, and Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow. In the church's calendar, today is Transfiguration Sunday. Oh, the Western Church has never celebrated Transfiguration Sunday in a great way. The Eastern Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, does. Transfiguration Sunday is second only to Easter in their church life. The reason for that is, I suspect, because it marks the end of Jesus' normal ministry. According to the Gospel of Luke, from this time on, from after the experience of the Transfiguration, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem because it is not right that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. In a sense, it's a culmination of Jesus' public ministry prior to going from Galilee to Jerusalem. So this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, as we then, as Christians, begin to think about those latter days of Jesus' life prior to his crucifixion and resurrection. It's a turning point. But halfway between the secular calendar and the liturgical calendar, the church calendar, is Boy Scout Sunday. Now, Boy Scout Sunday doesn't really fit into the secular calendar. The secular world isn't celebrating it. It's a Sunday. It takes place in the church. On the other hand, it's not in the church's calendar. It's not a part of the life of Jesus. It's someplace between where the liturgical calendar and our concern about Jesus' life and the secular world, and it meets the scout, brings the scout and those concerned about them together in this place, in this sacred place and holy place. Last year at this time, it seemed good because of things happening in our larger society to look at the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, and I want to do that again this morning. As a scout myself, I like to repeat it, remember it, what it meant to me, what it still means to me. And the scout says, on my honor, I will do my best, and there's a semicolon, to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong. That's easier to do now. It's modish to do that. Mentally awake. Stay away from drugs that change the mind. And morally straight. And this is the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, the Boy Scout Law is like it. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. These are intended to be the 12 virtues or the capital characteristics of the scout. And this morning, I want to ask the scouts a question. I want to ask you, to whom do you make your oath? Now, as time permits, I want to make a connection between what happened between Elijah and Elisha and what happened between Jesus and Peter, James, and John, and what happens when the scout makes this oath. I repeat, to whom do you make the oath when you repeat it? If my memory serves me correctly, at least when I was a scout, the senior patrol leader asked the question, and he led us in the scout oath. Well, do you make the oath to your senior patrol leader? Or is the oath made to the scout master? To whom do you make the oath? I think that deep down inside us, we have a feeling that an oath is just as good as the character or the quality of the life of the person to whom we make the oath. It's difficult, isn't it, to promise something to someone who is untrustworthy, who himself or herself does not keep promises. There is a tendency to think that our oath is only as good as the person to whom we make the oath. The tendency is to say, look, no one takes this very seriously. Look at the senior patrol leader. He's not perfect. Sean is blushing. Oh, look at the scoutmaster. Jerry, do you claim perfection? Well, he's not perfect. Why should I, as I say this oath, why should I make any more effort to obey it, to fulfill it, than those who are standing in front of me asking me to repeat the oath? To whom do you make an oath when you repeat the scout oath and the scout law? This morning, I want us to remember oaths. When the president-elect of the United States stands before usually a Supreme Court judge or a federal judge, whether a Supreme Court or not, to take the oath of office, he and someday she places that hand upon the Bible and completes the oath with the phrase, "So help me God." And the president-elect says this because as a people we recognize that we are committed by the oath we make only according to the character, the authority, and the power of the one to whom the oath is made. And this morning, dear fellow scouts, I want to remind you that the oath we make as scouts is made to God. Otherwise, I fear that the oath is no oath at all. But I am telling you nothing here, for of the 12 virtues or the 12 character traits which the scout law calls us to embody, to take into ourselves, has as its last virtue that of being reverent. Reverence is not an attitude which we assume in a sanctuary or at a funeral by standing up straight and folding our hands together with head slightly bowed. Reverence is an attitude towards life, toward others and toward ourselves. And it is an attitude which says, look, folks, something holy is going on here. It's an attitude towards life which says something holy, something sacred is happening around me and about me and even within me. It is an attitude which says there is such a thing as sacred time and sacred place and sacred person. Now, I ask you again, can you do that, Scouts? Do you do that? Do you look upon the world as a gift of God, holy and sacred, something to be cherished, to be preserved? Annie Dillard, whose name will be familiar to some of you, looks upon the world as a gift, a surprising gift. And as a young woman, she was able to walk through the woods along Tinker Creek, just as a scout does, would do. And there, Annie Dillard was able to see with uncommon eyes nature all about her. The wondrous gifts of God. And that's what training as a scout enables a young man to do. To look at the world with eyes that see things differently. You know, sometimes human beings, not often, we have to say extraordinarily rarely, but sometimes, human beings, single individuals, are so in tune with God that their lives manifest the presence and the power of God. There's just no other thing to say about them. Sometimes we call them saints, but they are, in our memory, sacred persons, and Elijah was such a person. You remember when Jesus took his disciples up on the mountaintop? And they looked at him there off by himself praying. There were two figures that appeared by him. One was Moses and one was Elijah. Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the powerful presence of God in prophecy. And you know, the essential characteristic of the prophet was his desire for justice and his call for a sacred and holy life. And in the story that comes to us from 2 Kings, Elijah is dying. He has a sense in himself that his days have come to an end, and he's on the move as though searching for the right place. We don't know why. Scriptures don't tell us why Elijah is on the move. Elijah goes from Gilgal to Bethel, and along the way, Elisha, a young man, a very young man, just as Peter, James, and John are not to be depicted, not to be thought of as middle-aged folk. These are young men. Now, Peter has another 35, 40 years to live. And Elisha follows after Elijah. And the people come out and say, look, don't you know Elijah's going to die today? Elisha says, yes, I know. And he goes on further from Bethel down to Jericho. You've heard of Jericho. It's in the news every day. And then on to the River Jordan. And Elisha says to Elijah, I want you to give me double your spirit. Strange request, it seems. A double share of your spirit. I want to be like you. You have revealed to us the transcendent power of God present in life. And Elisha, a very young man, says to this revered and older man, I want a double share of your portion. And what does Elijah say? Elijah says to Elisha, if you see me while I leave from you, then. If you see what a burden, what a challenge, if you can see, if you have the eyes to see, and then what happens? Elisha, looking at Elijah, probably Elijah still is in front of him, and he sees something of enormous radiance, a chariot of fire, he says. When you read the scriptures, you'll notice that fire, radiance, illumination, light, it's always associated with the presence and the power of God. Jesus, there on the mountain of transfiguration, becomes illumined. You see, Peter, James, and John become something in history because they have the eyes to see. That's precisely what Elijah says to Elisha. If you see me. A few years ago, we were all moved by a movie called Chariots of Fire. You remember it was a story about Eric Liddell, the Scotsman, who was an Olympic runner, who discovered that he was to run on the Sabbath. And because he had reverence for life, he refused. The whole issue was whether this man would join the secular world and compete on a Sunday or not. We're never told why the movie is called Chariot of Fire. It opens up with these young men running along the seashore. But Elijah's words explain it for us. If you see me, if you see the chariot of fire, if you see the illumined presence of God, then you will receive double share of my spirit. Today is Scout Sunday. I know that I would never have achieved Eagle had it not been for my parents and for those who were concerned about me as a young person. So Scout Sunday is not just about scouts. It's about the parents, the scout leaders, the bond that exists between them. I've been asking you a question. I want to ask you another question. Send it out to everybody here. Do you know how the Old Testament closes in the Christian tradition? You know the words, I'm sure. I suspect every one of you could quote the opening words of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created. Can you quote the words with which the Old Testament closes? Well, Moses is there in those last three verses, and Elijah is there in those last three verses. And the Lord is speaking as the Old Testament closes. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the ordinances. And we've said today, scouts, remember the law that you have sworn to. Add some of the virtues which come to us out of the Christian tradition. Justice, mercy, compassion, faith, hope, and love. But then comes Elijah, and this prophecy that Elijah will return. And this is what the Lord says is the task of Elijah. And Elijah will turn the hearts of parents. The Hebrew used the word fathers, but we know parents is men. And Elijah will turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the hearts of children to their parents, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And that is how the Old Testament ends. Elijah will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. That's why we celebrate Scout Sunday. That's why we remember Jesus teaching those young men named Peter, James, and John. That's why Elijah said all he could say to the young man, Elisha, if you see me, if you see the illumination, if you see the chariot of fire, if you see what you have been called to be and to do, if you see the world with the right kind of eyes, the eyes that see it as a sacred and holy place which God has given to us for a while, then the Spirit and illumination of God will be with you and in you. Amen.
You've been listening to Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. If you're enjoying this series, please take a moment and rate us on iTunes. You can learn more about this podcast at solonandsolon.com.